The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J. Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out.
So Bears camp is underway. Practice gets going a little bit later this morning. There's injuries to talk about, and we are in the vicinity of Bears camp at the awesome brand new Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills on Milwaukee Avenue, just north of Route 60. It's brought to you by First Midwest Bank, Midas, and the Home Loan Expert. It's the Cap and J-Hood Show. My man, you ready for football? We're back.
Absolutely. It has been a long time coming. This has been a very interesting offseason, but we are finally here. We get training camp, and we could be able to see the practice from here. You see right next to Classy Nails and Spa. That's where you can see the practice. It's right there between that and, I believe, Melody Farm.
Yeah, and the Home Goods stores kind of obscuring where the kickers are working.
Yes, so that's where we can see it from here. It is amazing, man. Things have really changed, hasn't it? I mean, you and I would stand on the sideline to be able to watch practice, be able to see with our very eyes, you know, what's good and what's bad for practice. And things have changed. I mean, COVID is a little bit part of that, but I think also the lack of access that we have now, where teams want to be able to just kind of keep things covered up. I want to be on the sidelines. We can't do it now, but I'd love to be there to be able to see the progression of the offense and defense.
Yeah, I'm thinking about trying to go out this weekend because they'll have a bunch of practices open to the public. Obviously, the media will get a little bit more access than the public will. There's going to be 1,000 fans per day. Mm-hmm. So we'll hear from people that are there that will call in. I know Waddle and Sylvie are having different reporters each day from the fan base, so we'll get our reports. It sounded like yesterday was a good day for Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Threw the ball very well, but it's day one, and you didn't have either starting projected tackle, Jenkins and Ifedi.
Right.
Both are banged up, and Eddie Jackson on the non-football injury list. He's banged up.
Yeah, it's early. You know, let's get through the growing pains now, because when the season starts, I want everyone to be as healthy as possible. Let's go, because this season will tell a greater story that could ever be told about the Bears post-Trubisky. We know what went through Trubisky and what happened with the defense last couple of years, but this year will tell a great story, won't it?
It will. And, again, it's all about when Tommy did his top, Waddle did his top 15 most important Bears on the list. He had number one Justin Fields. And, you know, as I listen to he and Sylvie break it all down, if Justin Fields doesn't play, in hindsight, you can't call him the most important Bear if he doesn't get on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But Andy Dalton's history also indicates he's not going to survive all 17 games.
Well, here's what I know, is that Andy Dalton is playing the part, right? When you read the quotes, when you hear the sound, he sounds like, yeah.
Cap and J-Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So you were about to make a great point about the Bears offense.
Yeah, I was due for one. So here's my thought, Cap, as we broadcast live from Buttermilk Cafe here in beautiful Vernon Hills here, as we can see practice. You can see the sun coming up, and you can also see the kickers are working out from here. You see that at the Home Goods?
Yeah, right behind the Home Goods. I see some footballs flying, so Pat O'Donnell must be punching.
So,
we also have the shuttle that takes people to practice right from here.
It's pretty awesome, man. I tell you what an atmosphere. Nonetheless, as I mentioned, you take a look at the strength of this team, Cap, and you can see the defense, and you know that's the strength of the team. I want to get some quarterbacks dirty. I want them to be able to get sacks and turnovers. I know this is not the Lovie Smith Bears, but turnovers would help. But offensively speaking, so whatever you think of the Mitch Trubisky era, it's over. Mm-hmm. You turn the page and you move on, right? Because ultimately it's about what's next. You can't just linger on what was. We got to talk about what's next. And what's next is we know Justin Fields was drafted, and I'm happy about that. Andy Dalton's here. I don't think that Andy Dalton is embarrassing as a quarterback. Look at the numbers. There's a ceiling to his success for sure when he's with Cincinnati and with Dallas. But here's the thing. Man, Justin Fields is not going to start game one. And I'm not going to turn my back on the Bears just because I'm not getting what I want because I want Justin Fields now. Yeah, we know he's the future, but I'm solidly behind Dalton to be able to pay some dividends and help this offense move. I think we got to do that.
And he made a comment yesterday where he said, I know I'm the starter right now, but mm-hmm. I also know my job is to help develop Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I'm not an idiot. I get it. So, and I'm paraphrasing, but he understands that. So I'm excited to see. I hear they go to dinner out here in the area,
mm-hmm.
those two. They hang out a lot, and that he said, I want to help you become a professional quarterback. There's a big difference of Ohio State playing Indiana or the Chicago Bears playing the Green Bay Packers, and we will get into Aaron Rodgers. Matt Nagy was on ESPN yesterday with Shea and Jordan Cornette, who are in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and Matt joined them yesterday and was asked about Andy Dalton.
You know, I think for us, one of the things that we've done here and Ryan Pace has done as general manager is really created a lot of great competition. And obviously with us going ahead and moving up and drafting Justin, there's a lot of excitement. But there's also that plan of the process of how we want to go about with this. And, you know, all of our coaches on staff, myself included, we've had really good open communication with Andy, with Justin, with Nick, on how we're going to go about it. And I think the number one thing we've said to them is, if you guys just worry about just trying to be the best quarterback that you can be and focus on today on just doing everything the right way, great things are going to happen for all of us. And that's where they're at. And the beauty is that they all understand that, they agree with that. And it's a really healthy room right now. And today's day one, they go out and they have their conditioning test this morning, and there's going to be a great competition in all the positions, but obviously the focus is going to be a quarterback. And Andy has played a long time in this league. He's had a lot of success. He understands, you know, where this city, where this organization, where we're all at as coaches with Justin. But right now, Andy is the starter and Justin's the backup, and they accept that, they understand it, but they're competing their tails off to be the best they can be.
So when you hear that, I think Matt makes a very salient point. You just go out and be the best quarterback you could be today. And if you do that, and Justin does that, and each guy at his position does that, then let's see where we go. Because there's a lot of talent on this roster. There is.
All I know is that there's an impatience for me as a Bears fan to see exactly how this team is going to be able to develop offensively, because there's no more excuses. Like, for instance, if Matt would tell us, if he came here and said, you know what, Mitch just wasn't the guy for us. I had a scheme that was in place that was Kansas City-like, and we just didn't have the Kansas City quarterback or players or personnel to get it done. Mm-hmm. And so now with Fields in for the future, with Andy Dalton in place, looking at not one, not two, but three running backs that can be able to do a lot of things for you.
Yep.
And then Allen Robinson, no matter the contract, you just know that he's a solid wide receiver. Mooney's coming into his own. I just think that they do have enough to be able to get it done. But if they are still in the 20s offensively, Cap, I mean, you guys are pointing fingers, right? We're pointing fingers already from the last regime with Trubisky. But I'm telling you, they've got to be a much better offense, efficient, an NFL offense.
Well, if they're in the 20s and it is trending where, hey, man, Justin played the last whatever number of games and it looks like it's going in the right direction, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me they're in the 20s and Justin started 11 games and doesn't look like a competent quarterback, mm-hmm. that's a bigger problem.
Yeah.
I mean, how you get there.
We all have the – just trying to figure out, like, when Justin's going to play. Justin's going to play when he's going to play. I just want the team to be better. ultimately, you ride or die with a good quarterback. I get that offensively. But, Cap, I just wanted to be able to come together, right? We don't talk enough about the defense and how the lack of – how they weren't as opportunistic last year as we've seen in years past, right? So I want to be for them to be able to get to the quarterback. I want them to be able to get takeaways. We have identified all summer the question mark at corner, right? So there's Jalen Johnson on one side, but what do you get on the other side?
We don't know.
We're used to having corners that could be able to make stops, to make plays. We look for a defense that usually bends and doesn't break. Well, they bent, they broke, they burst. They did a lot of things, right? That wasn't good last couple of years, away from Vic Fangio. So I want them to be able to be airtight as much as possible as well.
That's our opening drive brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team season. And single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. So we are out here at Buttermilk Cafe.
Yep.
I thought maybe you and I could do a little cooking later this afternoon. Have you checked out the menu here?
I don't think they're going to let us behind the stove. I'm not sure if that's going to.
My God.
I don't know if that's going to be the case.
I can tell you what Carmen's going to get. They're here tomorrow, Carmen and Yurko show.
Yeah.
Stuffed banana bourbon.
Wow.
Two slices of brioche bread layered with bourbon, banana patisserie cream, topped with Foster sauce, bananas, honey smoked bacon, and toasted pecans.
Ah, bananas Foster. Ah, that's really good.
Sounds
you know, good. Let me take a look at that again because, yeah, I think that would be up his alley. You know, looking at Carm. He'd probably look at that, or he'd go, well, maybe the blackberry brie. I mean, that might be something good.
Know.
Little goats, little crepes, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'll get an omelet.
I'm with you. Maybe I will. Maybe I like the strawberries and cream. I'm with you. Yurk, that's a good pick. I don't know. Back after this. I mean, ultimately, he won't be able to choose. There'll be so many things he's going to look for, right?
So if you have an opportunity, if you're going to be in the area, come on by. Buttermilk Cafe, brand new. It is awesome.
Awesome
the menu
man.
Is insane.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to having a number of shows from out here throughout training camp.
Hey, guess who showed up yesterday in Green Bay?
Aaron Rodgers.
How about that?
And then after practice, he decided he was going to talk about his relationship, his issues, and he held nothing back. Take a listen to this as it encapsulates some of his issues.
I think, you know, there was a lot of things that transpired. This wasn't, a draft day thing, you know. This was, started with a conversation in February at the season ended. And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. Also, I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room. And then it kind of progressed from there into a commitment for the 2021 season and beyond. That really wasn't given at any time. So for me, I had to assess the situation. Not necessarily wanting to be a lame duck quarterback, especially after an MVP season, which I think you can understand. And then the other part in February was wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was when I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. As that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front. So we got into March, and the conversation changed. As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021, and I'm not a part of recruiting process and free agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen. Like I said, it wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, you know, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much. I said it wasn't about the money, and the way that felt, you know, kind of just doubled down on that. Nothing really changed throughout the summer. There were obviously some developments in the last week or so, but, you know, I was really working on myself and my own mental state throughout the summer and at various points deciding if I wanted to even keep playing. But, you know, the fire still burns, and I wanted to be on a football team, and we got some things figured out in the last few days, and I'm here.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there.
Oh, boy. That's okay. Layered, boy. That's a lot
now,
there.
I have believed at times he has shown some diva-like behavior. Like last year in the NFC title game, he's got the ball at the 9-yard line, and he may not have gotten in the end zone. He could have run that sucker down to the 1 or 2. He's mad at the coach and takes a couple of shots, and you're all in this together. And in the end, they fell short. Tampa won and went on and won the Super Bowl. But when he is one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks ever, I mean, there's some amazing players. He's on that list. Okay. He had no say in the head coach hiring process.
Right.
None. Not that he wanted, and he said, I never asked that it has to be who I want. I would just like to be consulted, especially when you're hiring an offensive-minded coach. The offensive players you're going to cut, how about talking to me since I'm the quarterback? Maybe I would like to keep that guy or this guy. And I want to recruit players, and they don't want them involved. They're insane.
No. That's great. I'm glad you listed out my talking points, because those are not your talking points. Those are my talking points. You know why? Because you've always been behind management the entire time. You, not diva-like behavior. You called him flat-out a diva. That's what you said, Aaron Rodgers. I understand that, but you can't give my talking points on your side of the table.
Those aren't your talking points.
Oh, they are.
Those are his talking points.
Those are my talking points before he had his press conference, because what I said is that if you're Aaron Rodgers and he's the best on your football team, at least listen to him, right? It's like all these other examples that we've given on the show of if you're the head of a team and you're the best player, at least listen. We've talked about this with head coaching. We've talked about this with personnel. You don't have to exactly what the player says, but at least listen, right? We've talked about this with Deshaun Watson before the fallout, everything else that he's going through, right? Listen to him. He had a list of head coaches. They went with a 65-year-old in Cully, right? So the same thing here with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is saying, hey, I'm a guy here that is committed to the team. I have some ideas. And every time, by the way, he wanted to have offensive weapons, they went defense. The only time they went offense is when they get the quarterback that's in the place that's going to replace him now in Jordan Love. Remember?
However, they have one of the most highly rated offenses. They found Devontae Adams. Where you're picked is irrelevant. It's how you play. Bakhtiari, best left tackle. They had Bulaga, one of the other best offensive linemen in the game. Corey Linsley just got paid huge at free agency because he was a hell of a player.
Yeah.
So I'll push back on you. They've added weapons on that offense.
But you never
stop. That's nonsense.
But you don't stop, though. You just don't say, well, this is what we've given you. Go for it. See, ultimately, the overarching point for me on all of this is that he wishes he was Tom Brady in Tampa.
No question.
In Tampa, because he looks over on the other side and says, man, look at Tom Brady. He comes in there, changes the offense to tailor the way he wants it done. He gets the running back he wants. He gets the wide receiver that he wants. And I can't get any of that stuff. When I want more offensively, I can't get it because they don't listen to him. And so this, and then he talks about the money piece, which is so true. As I think you and I speculated on that. They were going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the history of the game, and he didn't care about money because he already has generational wealth.
Well, he's made over $200
million. Yeah, so he's fine with that, right? Of course, if you make $200 million, what do you want the most? Another $100 million.
No question.
But he didn't care about that, right? So my whole point is, Cap, is that he looks at Tom Brady and says, man, I wish I had what Brady had, where he has full autonomy on what he wants to do offensively. And for Aaron Rodgers, he looks at it. He laid it out. He wants to be able to have the type of authority where he could say, hey, go get this guy, go get this guy, and don't cut guys that I can work with. So, I mean, but as you said in the spring and the summer, if you are the organization with Murphy and Gutekunst are stronger than Rodgers.
No doubt.
So that's why I'm saying to you, yeah, he makes great points, but these are the points that I've been making. Like, you do all you can to keep Aaron Rodgers in the fold because he increases your chances to win. He's the guy. He makes great points, absolutely. But you've always backed management because you're saying, okay, look, if you want to walk and if you're unhappy, then let it be Jordan Love's show. That's what you've told me.
Not so much Jordan Love's show. You're a Packer. You're not going to play against us. I wouldn't have caved like they did. But they must feel they can win the Super Bowl.
They always feel they're close, right?
Right. So if they feel they can win the Super Bowl, then I guess you cave and you give in because you want to have him back.
Well, he's the best. He's the best. We're going to go through quarterbacks later on. That guy is, if he's not 1A, he's definitely a number two best quarterback in the National Football League. So you do everything you can, don't you? If you're the organization, you do everything you can. And as you mentioned, except for firing Gutekunst, you wouldn't do that for him.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. You would have.
No, I wouldn't have fired him, but there's always an opportunity to be able to have have open dialogue, communication. Like, look, you may not like this guy, but we love you, right? Let's bring this together, at least for another year. And by the way, the writing was on the wall anyway. You see why they drafted Jordan Love. They're ready for the next chapter after Rodgers. Otherwise, they wouldn't have drafted Jordan Love.
Well, you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
You do. But
if I fire Gutekunst, Cap, if I fire him and Rodgers is only around for another year, then now I lost a good man as a general manager and I lost a quarterback. Now where am I? Lindy Afonte.
You're right back. You're right back searching for a quarterback like everybody if that kid isn't any good. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is people are coming to Green Bay to play with me. He's right. You look at that team and you're like, I can go in the Super Bowl. I go play with that guy.
You don't diss the city like that. Boy, what a parting shot. He's got one more year. He takes a crap on Green Bay. It's not a vacation spot, so.
Well, he's just being honest.
I understand. Yeah, no, that's not right. Don't talk about the city like that.
He's just being honest. What's wrong with that?
Out of all the cities in the National Football League, what's the one that you wouldn't vacation in?
Green Bay would be on the list.
Is Detroit up there?
Detroit would be on the list, although they have a good casino that you and I were at.
Right.
They've got the Oneida one up in Green Bay.
Well, definitely on the list for me would be Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo would not be a vacation spot for me.
No.
Certainly not in the wintertime.
I have no problem with Green Bay, Wisconsin, but I don't like him saying that. Like, I understand his point. He could have made his point without taking a crap on Green Bay. My God, was he play for the Bears?
But I don't think he said it with any malice. Way he said it, look.
Everything sounds like California coming out of his mouth, so nothing sounds like malice from him.
But
right?
I just don't understand how you don't at least call him. Now, there are people in management up there that feel like they did do that, that they did give him a heads up. He pushed back on that. There are people in management up there who have said, stop. He knew what we were doing on the coach. He knew there was a chance we might draft a quarterback, and we've given him one of the highest-rated offenses in the National Football League. So your talking points, they don't believe are accurate.
Well, I'll say for a point of fact that he pretty much pushed McCarthy out.
Oh, I would agree.
Yeah, you know, he didn't want McCarthy, and he could have suggested some head coaches, but ultimately, you are right. It's up to the management to decide what's best. But Rodgers, I really believe the overarching thought for me out of all of this is that he sees Brady, and there's jealousy there, and I get it. I mean, all those rings, but it means more to me, this era, Brady, because of the autonomy that he has with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He didn't have that with the Patriots. That was all Bill Belichick as far as the moves that he wanted to make, right?
Agreed. But Tom Brady is Tom Brady. He's got seven rings. Aaron's got one.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams has not won a ring yet.
But so it's the last
dance. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Scotty had six rings riding next to Michael. I mean, absolutely 100%. Push back against that. So that's where it sits with Aaron Rodgers. And again, if you cave into a player and allow them to run the franchise, you're never going to get it back.
But you don't mind listening at least, though, right? To
agree.
Listen? He feel like they weren't listening.
Correct. They say they were. He obviously yesterday very eloquently and very entertainingly said they didn't.
35-minute press conference. He asked, he answered every question. All of them.
All of them.
So
now I would think he pushes that to the side. Go, I already dealt with that. Now let's just go play football.
Comes back hat in hand. Can I please come back?
He's back.
Can I please come back?
Correct.
Didn't have the balls to retire.
Also
comes
said
right back.
That they did not give him any assurance he can pick his next team. So people that thought, oh, he could just tell Denver, give up a seventh-round pick. No, not going to happen.
Say the NBA, right?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Not again. Oh, God. Not again. Somebody is hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you who next.
The training camp shuttles are loading in Vernon Hills. Cap and Jay Hood are there on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
So it was not a good day in Chicago baseball. Welcome back to Cap Jay Hood. We're in Vernon Hills at Buttermilk Cafe. It is on Milwaukee Avenue, just 10 seconds north of Route 60. This is where they're parking cars. Take the shuttle, go over to Bears Camp. There's a nice crowd in here eating breakfast. The menu is ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. Lemon blueberry pancakes just look incredible. Oh, the cinnamon roll pancake. I mean, you can just go nuts in here.
Cap, we decided back.
I might take a couple of segments off.
And eat.
Yes, I think
yes,
so.
Danny?
We decided back here at the shop that you should eat one breakfast per hour till we're off the air at 10 o'clock. You keep talking about how glorious everything looks and how you want to try this, that, and the other. You should place an order at 7:15, eat it at 7:45, do that at 8:15, eat it at 8:45, 9:15, 9:45. You've got to consume something for us.
All right, done. I'm in.
Like a little Mark Wahlberg action.
Yeah, I'll probably go pretty low carb, but I will, yeah.
No. If you're going to do it, do it. I mean, you're talking about these blueberry pancakes and this banana Foster. Let's go.
Okay. JR, you want to order me the lemon blueberry pancakes, okay? And an order of sausage on the side.
And don't forget that we do have Twitch going, Cap, so we can watch that you're not just ordering this. We're going to see that you're actually eating it.
All right. I'm in. I'm going to work out again later. Lemon blueberry pancakes. You got it. I'm in with an order of bacon. Take that, JR. Anyway, JR's our engineer out here.
You showed them, boy. I tell you what, that order, you showed him.
Can you imagine how Cap talks to the help at his house? He orders his food and ends it with a take that. Not a thank you or a please, but a, I want this, this, and this. Take that.
Yeah, that's pretty typical. Not surprised. Take that, Benson.
So
make that for me.
So,
Dubois.
Anyway, I'm watching the two baseball games last night.
Yeah.
And Eloy Jimenez had the big three-run homer two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hood Cave was exploding in joy. And last night, it was not a good game for the White Sox. They lost in extra innings. They had to have a review when it first looked like they lost. Then they reviewed it and said, no, the guy didn't score. And then the next play, Michael A. Taylor, base hit, ball game over, Billy Hamilton's throw not close, and the Sox lose. Now, they're 8.5 games up. They've got just over 24 hours till the trade deadline, which is 3 o'clock Central tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a great win. I thought Giolito pitched okay, but the big story was Eloy Jimenez tweaked his groin.
Yes, and that is an issue. Now, again, I don't care how young or how old Eloy is. I want that guy to be the DH. See what I'm saying? I think we could just chalk this up as a one-off, like, okay, he tweaked his groin. He's going to be okay. Yes, he will be okay. But I want him to have the lion's share of the time as a DH. Now, I know as a young guy, he wants to be out there in left field because he wants to prove that he can play the position injury-free, but not the case yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need his bat in the lineup. If you're a White Sox fan, you know that. But, you know, last night's game was just deflating, right? Just a piece of crap. Just crap on a stick watching that yesterday because, as you mentioned, Giolito was solid. And so he was able to finish his six innings. And then you think, okay, maybe the Sox can keep themselves in the ball game. That interesting play that you mentioned, though, with Zavala, whether or not he had the ball in his hand or whether the ball was in the glove, You know why that was? Why do you, that was controversial? C.B. Buckner was the home plate umpire, was he not?
Was he at home or at third?
Let's see where he was. I know that he was involved in the play, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he was at third. But the play we're talking about in extra innings, so there's a rundown between home and third, and Zebby Zavala had the ball in one hand, the glove on the other.
Yeah.
Okay, this happened in my old man league the other day.
Oh, really?
Yes, our second baseman had the ball in one hand, the glove in the other.
Yeah.
He tags him with the glove, and the umpire goes out. The other team's like, but the ball's in his hand.
Correct.
You have to either tag with the ball and that hand, which could knock the ball free, or put the ball into the glove. They replayed it. Tony's immediately, I mean, at the top step with the motion for the headset.
Yes.
Review it. And Jason Benetti said, I think the ball was in his hand and the glove on the other.
Yeah.
And then they looked. He put the ball into the glove and then tagged him.
Right there, right there at the last moment.
Correct.
Right, and that was a bang-bang deal, and I think C.B. Buckner was right there on the line. So if it was screwed up, it's not a surprise because he was an umpire. He was actually involved in the game because he's one of the worst.
Totally agree.
He's one of the worst that we have in the big leagues, without question.
Him, Angel Hernandez.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a couple of real strugglers.
So there's Hendricks, right? Mm-hmm. Hendricks, I mean yeah, he's one of the best closers that that we have in the game, but he blew it. He blew it. So they got a tie game, and when the Sox could not score in their half of the 10th, I said, well, here it is, right? Mm-hmm. Here it is. Mm-hmm. Runner at second base, and the Royals win the game. That was just deflating. I wasn't angry last night. I was just deflated. Like, after all this, and you're losing to a team that's not very good again, the Sox are having problems scoring. They're in a drought right now, Cap. It's not the free-flowing offense that we have seen over the past month plus or so.
All right, so the deadline's tomorrow. Alex, Adam Frazier, gone from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Not a White Sox. Eduardo Escobar, who we thought the Sox were going to get, he's now a Brewer.
Yep.
So there's not much left at second base unless you go make a blockbuster deal to get Javi Baez from the Cubs or Trevor Story from the Colorado Rockies. Or just say we're going to play Danny Mendick and Leury Garcia. So we'll find out. I think the fact that the price wasn't that high to get Eduardo Escobar from Arizona and that the White Sox did not pull the trigger and trump the offer of the Brewers means Rick has a bigger deal planned. I just truly believe that.
Hey, give me that. Give me the deal that you've heard as far as Rick Hahn, the players that the White Sox are not willing to trade.
I heard from what I was told, he did approach the Pirates about a three-man deal where he would get Richard Rodriguez, their closer. He would have gotten Adam Frazier, the second baseman, and he would have gotten Jacob Stallings, their catcher, who's not a great hitter, but he's a really solid receiver and game caller and pitch blocker.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we're either getting Kopech or we're getting Andrew Vaughn. And Rick went, uh-uh. Those guys are untouchable. I will not trade them.
See, that has to be the stumbling block every time that there's a deal on the table. Again, the Sox need to be able to upgrade at the second base position. I'm sure every conversation starts with Kopech, right? Like, oh, he's a great arm, but he's a bullpen guy. I guess you're not using him, right? We'll take him. No. Okay, so what else can you give us, right?
And Tony had an interesting comment. He said, I look at Michael Kopech like I looked at Adam Wainwright in 2006,
yeah,
who's still pitching. He said he was great out of the bullpen for us. We used him in high leverage situations. Then we transitioned him to the rotation the next season.
It's like what Jesse said, right? The only two guys that you could trust in that bullpen is Hendricks and Kopech. He wants to have a starter go six, have a Kopech do the middle, and then Hendricks finish it out. Because you can't rely on Raymond Burr. You saw what happened yesterday,
correct,
right? Rolling out there to the mound.
Be Ryan.
What is it?
Ryan.
So I saw him out there, and there he was. There was Burr rolling out there to the mound. I'm going to give up a fastball.
Yeah, exactly what he did. Aaron Bummer was better.
Well, Aaron Bummer is very good.
He is. He hasn't been able to stay healthy this year as much as they had hoped when they signed him to that $25 million extension. But they're going to go out, and they're going to add on in that pen. I truly believe that. I actually was told yesterday they would have Ryan Tepera by game time yesterday from the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened yet. So I'm curious to see if they get that done.
I think it's more like Raymond Burr when I see him out there.
We're going to find out.
You saw him out there yesterday. Did that look more like Ryan Burr or Raymond Burr?
Raymond.
I did. He was being rolled out there.
Correct.
Mark, my small of my back needs a little washing.
Right.
Yes, good evening.
Archimon Garotti's like, what is he talking about?
Did you not see? Did you not see Ironside?
I did.
All right, you remember this, right?
I do.
His assistant.
Yes.
I don't know how he's solving crimes up there when he's in a chair, you know, and he's got stairs to go down. How is he getting out there to the street level? Mark, that's why.
He carried him.
Carry me down, Mark. I've got a case. Yes, good evening. I'm going to pitch for the White Sox, yeah.
All right, so Aloy's hurt. Javi didn't play again last night. Is that also he did not get suspended?
Right, which surprised you?
Which, yes, because I went back and pulled up the highlight of Nick Castellanos flexing over a pitcher at home plate when he slid in.
Yeah.
And he got suspended 2 games. Amir Garrett got 7 games for the nonsense with the Cubs before.
Mm-hmm.
Javi got a fine. A fine. And so our friend Lance McAllister was on hosting the pregame at WLW in Cincinnati yesterday.
Yes.
And was irate. How does Javi Baez not get suspended and our guys do?
Oh.
Irate.
Oh, I don't know the collar of McAllister. That's fun. That's fun. I know he can get fired up.
Yeah, the Reds were not happy, and Javi did not play. They say it's a bruised heel. Is it being overly cautious because they might be trading it?
It's so funny. Here you go with the overly cautious. You said the same thing about KB. You said the same thing about KB that they're overly cautious with him too. By the way, KB just adds to his value. Now the dude's playing shortstop.
Correct. 6 positions this year. 6.
Wait a minute now, Cap. Maybe not to your ball club, but he's going to be worth $30 million to someone.
Like, someone's.
Look at this guy. He's all over the diamond.
Somebody's going to pay him.
He's sticking it to the Cubs. It's so funny. You know, he can play any infield position, clearly. Can you play a little second, too? A little catch? Can you do that?
No catch, but I think he could play second.
Okay, well, that's for sure.
I'm going to order breakfast and a UFO sighting. Do you believe in UFOs?
Wow, combo platter.
That's next. Hey, this hour brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi.
Watch on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel on Twitch. Tap in Jay Hooter and Vernon Hills as fans board the shuttles for training camp on ESPN 1000. Shot!
All right, rolling on here at the Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills. It's an awesome, awesome spot for breakfast and for lunch. It's all brought to you by First Midwest Bank, Midas, and the Home Loan Expert. He's Hoodie, I'm Cap. Danny and Jeff are back at our studios on State Street. JR is out here with our great promotions team with Travis and Jocelyn. And so my first order of breakfast, Danny, has arrived, the lemon blueberry pancakes. And now I think for my second meal in the next hour, so Jalissa's here.
Jalissa, how are you?
Hi, Jalissa. So, Jalissa, I've got a request for you. I would like to get one of your skillet, like your egg skillets, but can you do it for me in olive oil? Can you do half egg whites, half yolk? Okay. Can you also give me the upgrade to the nitrate-free apple gouda chicken sausage?
Yes, order like a man. That's good stuff, yeah.
And I'll take some cheddar cheese and smashed avocado in there. What do you think? All right, and I'll take an order of the sausage on the side.
Oh,
no toast. No toast.
What kind of nonsense are you pulling here? I mean, you already have a meal in front of...
Do I know what skillet I want?
He doesn't.
Why don't you just give me that like an egg order?
You guys know, okay? We were just in commercial break. You could have easily ordered the food then, right?
I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? You're in a segment. I'll order mine offline.
Thank you, Hoodie. God bless you.
I mean, for God's sake,
and your family.
How about these pancakes?
I understand.
Hoodie.
All right, that's fine. But
Look at that. We're
on the air. I mean, you could have done this before. You had 5 minutes.
Okay. I wanted to talk to Jalissa.
Okay, now you're going to have, like, this blueberries all over your shirt because you get to cross yourself at least once a show, whether it's coffee.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah?
The armchair nutritionist might not approve, but this is freaking delicious.
Of course
Wow.
It is. Of course.
Unbelievable.
That is a short stack of pancakes, Cap.
Yeah. So I'm trying to stay low-cal.
No, I think it's because that's a height joke, actually, because JR is taller than you, but nonetheless.
He is not.
You tell him, hey, you know what? Anytime he tells you that he's taller than you, you just say, you know what? I am tall. I stand on top of my money.
Take that. Take that is right. So do you believe in UFOs?
Have we just met or?
Because I'm telling you we're going somewhere.
Have we just met? I told you. I do not believe in these UFOs that you speak of.
So there is footage that some people are believing is definitely a UFO. Is it an alien, an angel, a shapeshifter? So there's this video that has appeared, and they believe that it is a UFO sighting. Others are saying it's an optical illusion.
Uh-huh.
You do not believe. Danny, I have a feeling you believe in UFOs.
He does not. He also.
I do not. I've said on this show that I do not believe that life exists outside. A UFO is an unidentified flying object. So if you're going by the definition of UFO, then I believe that there are things flying through the air that we're not exactly sure what they are. But I do not believe that there's life anywhere outside of Earth. And I know, you know, Carmen will crap on me that that's a naive way to think, that the universe and universes are so big and there's no way that we're the only people there. But until I see otherwise, you know, we walk around with these amazing phones that have the greatest cameras in the world. Why is it that we never get legit pictures? And why isn't it that the people that we trust most when it comes to this, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, right, spends his whole life looking through a telescope, has seen nothing. But then the people that live in Iowa on the farm that have nothing going on in their lives, no offense to them, see them every week.
Yeah, we never see these things on the south side of Chicago. It's usually over a farm someplace in Ames, Iowa. That's the difference. It's always one of those spots. It's never like in a rural place, like in a big city. Why are the UFOs only hanging around corn and wheat?
So you guys are really that arrogant to think this is it, that there's no other form of life anywhere, and that the classy nail spa and the home goods store and the European wax center,
what,
this is it? Are you guys out of your minds? There is life on other planets and other solar systems that look down at us and some of our idiocy, and they laugh at us.
Captain, did you say the European Wax Center?
Right there, buddy.
Oh, got to make a stop after the show.
I know. That'd be a great show, outing.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Can I get the Brazilian?
Do a little wax off, wax on over there.
No question.
Nonetheless, no, I do not believe in that because I've never seen one. I've seen these things, and again, it's funny, over the last 3 or 4 years, we're seeing more and more of these pictures. Are you sure that's not Russia? Are you sure that's not other countries just peering in? You sure?
I am positive there is life somewhere else, another solar system.
Uh-huh.
And that they look at us and laugh at us.
But how could you possibly say I'm positive with no proof? You're just going on a gut feeling or what you believe. Saying I'm positive makes it sound so definitive.
That's because Cap was dead once and he saw something.
Two different things, man.
No, no, no. Here's how I'm going to tie it all together for you, Danny. Jonathan, Jeff, JR, everybody out there.
Okay.
As I've told the story, I'm not going to tell you again. It's not the Dirk Nowitzki story. My heart stopped on the operating table.
Yes.
I was dead. I remember the journey from the operating table where I was going somewhere. So what you're telling me is that journey that I was on through outer space, it wasn't like everything just stopped and I was gone. No, I was headed somewhere. And I remember every single second of it when my heart had stopped. You're telling me then that the journey I was on is all tied to this place and this place alone, and that the good Lord and the powers that be that put all this together have no other interests anywhere else. No chance.
That's also being called unconscious. I believe that's just the stars that you see when you're just out. You saw darkness, right? You can't,
darkness. There were stars. There was light. Yes, I'm telling you.
And people talked to you. Did someone talk to you?
No. Okay. I didn't get that far.
Okay. But you were going to talk to someone.
They took the paddles and went, bam, and I was back.
Yeah. Did you want to stay out? Did you want to find out what else was going on?
No. Okay. I wanted to come back.
Is it possible that the paddles were the stars you were seeing? I mean, they're jolting you full of electricity. You saw stars and you went flying through something. Could that possibly be what caused that?
No, I asked the doctor that. I said, I was headed somewhere. He said, look, I've never been on the journey you were just on, but that's absolutely possible.
Were you anally probed?
I had a catheter in. Does that count?
No, that probing's happening every day between 7 and 10, actually.
Correct.
You're getting that surgery. You're getting that done every day. You're getting poked and prodded.
I'm just telling you. Yeah. I believe in the UFOs, and if the little...
What about the picture? The picture that's shown on the New York Post there.
Right.
I mean, does that look like something?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
I mean, that doesn't look like an aircraft, a spaceship, or anything. Like, I can't believe in any of that stuff, Cap, until we... It's kind of like when we see these millionaires, these billionaires going up into what is called space for 11 minutes. I mean, if I don't see a local Starbucks or a buttermilk cafe up there, I don't need to be up in space.
I'm just telling you, if the little ship stopped and dropped down in my backyard tonight and went, we promise you, we'll bring you back. Just going to take you on a quick ride.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a good person.
Yes.
I'm in. Let's go.
Of course you'd go, because then you could tell all the stories that you've told us 20 times. It'll be new to them.
Correct.
Have I ever told you about Dirk Nowitzki, little green man? Take that. Secretariat was awesome. You weren't around for that. Let me tell you about Secretariat. Take that. So you just roll out a whole bunch of stories for those people.
Someday when we're long gone from here,
yeah,
I'm going to be reunited with Secretariat. I'm going to get that picture that I regret I didn't get.
You can tell the difference.
I can tell.
You can tell it's Secretariat by its silks, right?
No question about it.
Okay. That's
all right.
Fine.
We're going to talk some football because camp is back. It's crazy, but football is back. Danny says the summer is over because football is back. We are going to talk football with you at 8 o'clock and give you some of our thoughts on what's going on at camp today as they battle at the quarterback spot. Matt Nagy at 8:35. Dan Wiederer. Matt Nagy will be speaking at 8:35. Dan Wiederer will join us at 9:35.
But next, we have Shot or No Shot.
Shot or No Shot coming up next.
So, no alien butt play then.
Wow.